It is nice to have everybody here. It's nice to be here, and this is a series on discipleship. I had a whole another series that I've been wanting to do for years, and yet over the past year and a half, the Lord's been laying the discipleship piece on my heart and on my mind. It's not easy whenever He changes your path and guides you to a different way. Whenever you're stubborn, like I am, growing up in Bakersfield, I learned that from the farming community. Or maybe it's just ingrained in my blood with my family. But I do want to start by saying I have seen with my own eyes, and I have heard with my own ears, this congregation grow in the past year to year and a half. How, you ask? You guess? About a year and a half ago, I challenged us. It's interesting. We have a lot more guests here than we do some congregational members. But yet, we filled up in the last 10 minutes, so I'm glad that you all came. Because this is a challenge to us as a congregation today. But I've seen over the past year and a half how you have set out and you've purposely went over and started to talk to new people. That is something that we didn't always do. But again, you heeded the message when I challenged us to do that, and I've seen how guests have come back time and time again. And I'm glad that the guests are now bringing guests. So thank you. I would also like to say what I'm about to present today comes from a side of me that may be a little selfish, but I hope is biblical, but only time will tell. The reason I say this is because I would like to see the DC grow in numbers and families. Whatever may happen, I do pray that it will be for the glory of God and our Savior, Messiah Yeshua. We must watch and see if this inspiration was from the Lord. And yet I always first put things before the Lord in prayer, petition Him about things in other ways, whether it's fasting or giving up things, and study His Scripture and make sure that it's aligned with what He would have us do. Unfortunately, those who are guests today, Pastor Bruce isn't here. He's a better teacher than I am, by far. And I fill in when he's out. And so today he's at the UMJC helping them turn things around in a certain way with the UMB and put things in place that has been coming along for years and years. I also want to tell each of you that whatever you know, your influence has a big impact on me when you say something. You encourage me throughout my journey as a pastor for the past 16 years. I pray that I have helped guide and support and encourage you all to grow together and mature in the Lord as much as you have helped me grow as a pastor. I know we still have much to do for His kingdom, and this is what has brought me to this teaching today. If you want, we'll jump over to Matthew 28 in just a minute. But you can open your Bibles there. When I say you have influenced me, please know, if you speak to me and you say something, I listen. It may not always be heeded right away, but that's just because I'm a slow pot stewing at times and do not like to disrupt the waters too fast because I do not want things to spill over onto others. However, there are times that as a pastor, you must also challenge your congregation. I think in the future, with what I'm about to say today, it may challenge some of us. It may challenge us as a congregation, but I do believe that this is what we need to do as a congregation. And I don't think it's all that much. We follow the example of Messiah. We put things in order like the temple was so back far back then. We listen to His words when they're spoken. And then we will be walking in righteous path as we follow His instructions. And so I hope to look to these passages of Scripture today. As I said, Matthew 28:16 through 20. says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" Some of us don't go out to nations. Some of us will be going out to nations. And I pray for you. And I will ask God to reveal to you how you can help those people in the other nations as you go out on your journeys over the spring break. But I also know that He will transform you more than you may transform them. And by doing so, some of you may be called to the mission field for a long-term mission trip after you graduate. Be open to His Spirit and be open to His ways, because His ways are always the best ways. But it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I think we're doing an excellent job with our own children. I think our children are growing up. They're getting married. Some of them are going out and getting jobs. And I think they're making wise decisions, because we still see them hovering over the Scriptures and looking at the Scriptures for guidance, for direction, which means we're doing great as parents. What are we doing with our neighbors? With those who were around at work? What are we doing if we're not going to go out to the nations? What are we doing? What can I do at work? What can I do in my neighborhood? Some of you may also know that I actually work backwards a lot of times. Today I'm going to challenge us as pastors, as families that are members of this church, to look at what we do towards the end. So if you go out and you bring in a neighbor, or you bring in a friend from school, or you bring in a grandparent or whoever, I want them to feel welcome, and I think that's happening. I think there's other ways to take what we've already been doing and apply them to help people feel like they belong even more and that they have direction when they come here. I want to make sure that we're making disciples that know that they have a reason to be here and that they have a purpose for being here. So, Pastor Bruce has always talked about books. I will say that I have read these books. I'm going over them and over them as well, along with the Scriptures. But one book that I grabbed that's written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it's called The Cost of Discipleship. It's a great book. I would recommend it. As I go through this series, you guys will hear portions of this book talked about. Another book that I've been reading, that I actually was inspired to read, came from Dick Hozak, somebody that hasn't been here in years. And yet he said that his church has been going through this book and they have put it into place. I see a lot of what the Disciple Center does in this book itself. It's called Real Life Discipleship. There's a workbook that goes along with it, Disciples Making Disciples. It's by Jim Putman. I'll put this all online. I'll send it out in an email as well. But as you know, as you can tell if you're a guest, there's a lot of Judeo pieces in this congregation. I've also really good friends with a rabbi out in Corona. He led me to growing to maturity. This one's by Dan Juster, one of the guys that I first remember reading one of his books in the movement of the UMJC. This is another one that I've read through. I'm now seeking a lot more intensity into this and looking further into what they talk about. These are books that are going alongside what I've been reading in the Scriptures and things that I have been praying about for our congregation. I believe when you say something to a pastor and he prays on it and the Lord guides them to His Scriptures on the topic, and then the Lord points out the books, brings other books into place like these, to me, that's enough to start acting and throwing it out to the congregation to see what happens. I also believe that some of you might be already steering within your hearts and who you are. I look backwards. Somebody told me who had brought a guest and said, "Hey, I kind of think we need a new members class." And I, again, this is another thing that confirmed that we needed to go this direction. And yet, I looked at our congregation and how does that fit in? A lot of churches have new members classes. They got to go through, they come on Sunday nights, they do 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and then they decide if they want to become a member. That doesn't quite fit with our congregation. And again, I tend to do the trajectory. I have an upside down triangle, right? It's upside down. Let's put into place what happens last, and then we'll talk about the first later. So again, I start from the top down, putting the responsibility on the leadership. I want to help us all have what is needed to bear the good fruit in a healthy way here in the congregation. What do I mean? Some of you have given us opportunity time and time again as you have brought new people. And yet they come and they go. And yet the Lord continues to give us opportunity, and I want to make the best of it. I have listened again, I have prayed, I've studied the scriptures, read books, and here we are today. In Hebrews 10:19 through 25, I actually had 24 through 25, which says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." We do that really good. Somebody comes up with an idea to do Ultimate Frisbee on a Sunday. Guess what? It happens a week or two later. Unfortunately, today they're sick. That does happen. But there's still people going to the park and gathering because somebody wanted to get together at the park. And God has created a beautiful day to do just that. And so, not forsaking our own assembling together. We don't do that. We are always getting together, if you ask me, for Sabbath, for Sundays, for different parties that God has put in place, according to Leviticus 23. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near. I backed it up a little bit because my focus is on who put us in this position to encourage one another. And that starts in verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence," we have confidence "to enter the holy place by the blood of God. Of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Going over this again, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider and continue to stimulate one another to good works." You see, the Lord has cleansed us. He has brought us together as a congregation. I believe this style of new members' classes would fit in perfectly with our lunches. If there's somebody that's been coming with the host family and they've been enjoying the lunches and hopefully more of us are getting to know them, we can actually make a twist to that Sunday night program class. I would hope that we would actually purposely choose some families or some families would volunteer and we would have those new people over to our house for a lunch. If not a lunch, perhaps a Sabbath. It allows those different people to get to know those new people. This allows them to get to know not just the host family, but somebody else as well. I've seen new families that have stayed get to know other families that weren't as part of that host family, but they tend to hang out with them more often now. So in that six-part luncheon, I would say that the new members or the new people that are considering membership would start with myself and Kara. I'd love to have the host and the new people come if they want to lunch. We'd host them at our house, and then we would get to know them a little bit better. But like I said, it would be intentional. I would go over and make sure that the host has been doing their job, whoever invited them, that they've explained everything. If they have any questions, they could talk to us. And we just enjoy that Sunday meal together or that Sabbath meal. The meal, too, would be another family that could talk about the spring holidays, holy days, Passover, unleavened bread, and Easter. Things are different in this congregation. But people tend to love it when you can point out the scripture and show how Jesus did it and how it relates to what God did so long ago in His Torah. Meal three would be counting of the Omer, talking about Pentecost and summer common time and how we get together and we do things as a family of God here at the Disciple Center. Meal four, family three, fall holy days. You would go over the fall holy days. They're probably not used to Yom Kippur or Yom Terah or Sukkot. But we have a lot of fun. If you're a guest, did you know our God is a party God? He loves the party. That is for sure. We have found that throughout the scriptures. And then finally, the life cycles for meal five. Talk about the betrothal, the marriage, parenting, catechism. Things that we do in here that aren't typical of a Southern Baptist church, but we're Southern Baptist. Right? And then finally, meal six, I would invite them back with Kara and I to enjoy another lunch. And I would talk about everything that they may have experienced within the congregation going to meals with different family members to see if we're the right fit for them. Which I believe a lot of times we've missed the ability to do just this, include them in different families and see how we can help them in their journey of life. I have prayed, I have thought about this for some time now, as I said. If you know me, and I'm a slow reader, you know that it's been a while because I read three books. I believe this possible way of introducing new people to the Disciple Center after coming a few times with their host family or person will allow them to get to know others in the congregation and build other relationships within the body here at the Disciple Center. I also believe it will not only help them understand us more, but also acclimate them to who we are as a group in Messiah and help build into them who they are as part of us, as they choose to move forward with membership, if that's what they choose. I hope and pray that some of you will seek the Lord and let me know if this is something that you would be willing to participate in. Again, this is something that one person told me, said we need some membership class. And then another person said the same exact words about 6 months later. So if that's not of the Lord and all these different things that kind of continue to align, I believe it's time to move forward in such a way that when people do come week after week, we have a way to get to know them amongst our whole family here at the Disciples Center and show them the love and the purpose of what we do here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you now. I thank you for this opportunity.